Last week and this week, let's see, let's track a little bit. Last week we started by talking about the fact that we all make decisions. Even, and then somebody else brought out, which was a good thing, is that sometimes even by not making a decision, we made a decision. So the whole idea of what we're talking about in these weeks is we're talking about how do we get to the other side of the decision. A lot of times whenever we're looking at things that we have to do, we have to make a decision. Sometimes quickly, sometimes we have a lot of time, sometimes it's something that you wouldn't think would take a whole lot of process. Other decisions take a lot of process. It doesn't matter. The issue is we're talking about the factors that are involved in trying to make a decision, trying to get to the other side of this decision. And so last week, we started where? Where do we start with? You remember? Last week, when we started about making a decision, in order to get the other side of the decision, what was the first factor or element or consideration that we talked about last week? No, actually, what we did all last... Yes, principle. And where do we find principles for us? Okay, Bible. So we talked about the fact that God's revelation to us is the starting point that there... And I'm going to see if you can kind of visualize this, because I can't remember if I talked about this the other day or not. But try to visualize this. A little spigot with a drop of water. Okay, that drop of water, we're going to pretend like that is the decision. Okay, that's the situation. Okay, and then it's going to drip down into something. Okay, a filter. And at various points in the filter, depending on what factors are involved, that decision makes it farther down into the filter. So a decision that requires more of these elements and factors to be involved might make it farther down into the filter. But some decisions, when they drip into the filter, can come straight out of the filter because the principle, we'll just say, if the principle was the first ring, let's just say there's some decisions we can make that we know based on the principles we see in the Bible. There is no decision to make. If we're going to be obedient, God has said, this is the way you need to do it. We do it. Decisions made. Does that make sense? With the principle. Okay. There's other kind of content in the Bible, though. And the Bible is God's revelation of how He's spoken to people. So not only are there principles involved, and we did look at principles. The principles we looked at, for example, were the Ten Commandments. Okay. We know they're principles. We know they were given. We talked about why they were given. For us, okay? So, Ten Commandments, we know that when a decision that touches on one of those Ten Commandments hits our radar screen, there should not be a whole lot of deliberation because God has said, right? Kicks out, okay? Decision made. But then we also talked about the fact that the Bible reveals to us that God has spoken and He's talked about values. And Jesus did that a lot of times through the parables. So we talked about one of the parables, and we said, okay, what's the value here? The value that we talked about, we looked at the 99, okay, in Luke 15. What, you know, the shepherd goes after the one sheep. And what did we learn from that? The value is that people's lives are valuable. God finds us valuable, and we need to learn from that. That is a value. So whenever we're making a decision, we want to make sure that we remember that value, that God goes after one just because. So we need to remember that when we're making a decision. God doesn't throw anybody out or forget anybody. Doesn't leave anybody behind. No sheep left behind. Okay. How about that? So we talked about that value. Okay, today we're going to progress and we're going to talk a little bit about the values that we see, not just in a parable, but we're going to look at values, and I'm going to get you to help me, as we see it in the wisdom literature in the Bible. Okay, so we've talked about principles, we've talked about a value, like as in those revealed through parables. Now we're going to look at what are some of the things that the wisdom literature in the Bible, and there's wisdom literature in the Old Testament and New Testament. You do realize that, right? Okay, what are some things that we line up in the Old Testament as being in the writings, the wisdom in the Old Testament? What writings do we usually consider fit in that category? Okay, it is that's more principled? Okay. Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastes. What else? Song of Solomon. Okay, all those that fit kind of in that group. Job. Okay. All that fits generally in the wisdom. Okay, the writings category in the Old Testament. So think for just a second. All your vast experience with people preaching at you, doing Bible studies, and was an example of a time in the writings in the Old Testament wisdom where you see a value communicated. It may be one saying or maybe a story. So what's the value? Got two women. One says it's her child. The other one claims it's her child. Solomon, in his wisdom, he makes what decision? He says what? And so what was he trying to reveal by doing that? Okay, so the true mom would say, absolutely not, you can take the child. Okay, all right. Okay, so what are we supposed to gain from that? What does that show us in that event? Which, historically. Well, for us, what are we supposed to... What should we take away from that? Whatever you think God put that story in that canon for. What are we, as we read it today, what are we supposed to learn from that event that took place? Is God let it be there for a reason? Okay? All right? One thing it underscores is that it reveals what wisdom really is. Wisdom is not always an answer. Because Solomon did not provide an answer, did he? Sometimes wisdom is applied so that things can be revealed. I think that situation does a really good job of that, showing us that wisdom is not always an answer. Sometimes it's just allowing something to be revealed and providing a context for things to be revealed. Any other Old Testament writing you can think of? Psalms? Proverbs. Okay. All right. All righty. That is a principle. I mean, probably that's not a principle, that's a value. Okay. Which would speak to us in that, you know, that we want to try to find a way to submit to one another. Okay. And so that would be one where a wife submits to her husband. Husband respects, loves, takes care of his wife. That's the idea there. Okay. Okay. We'll jump to James. Okay. James is probably the best example of an epistle or writing in the New Testament that sort of follows this wisdom content model. So what's something that James says that kind of fits into this? Heidi. Okay. He says this is worthwhile, and he uses the word religion. This is real religion. And what does he say? Take care of widows and orphans. That's value. Okay? You take care of people who can't take care of themselves. You really want to say you got faith, you've got it, then it means you take care of people. All right? Good example of value. Okay? Also, he talks about tongue a lot there in James. Okay? Can't harness your tongue, then got a problem? Okay. So he also says, take care of people. Don't mistreat people. Don't treat people who have stuff versus people who don't have stuff differently. Honor everybody equally. Don't say, oh, you get to sit in this nice seat here versus, no, you need to go sit at the end of the table. He talks about showing partiality too. All those are values. So whenever we come to a decision, we need to understand, first of all, there's principles, and then there's values that are revealed that God has shown us. This is something that He wants to say to us about how we're supposed to live. So therefore, if we have a decision that in some way bumps up against and deals with these values that God has said, these are the values you need to have, folks, that has something to do with the filter that we see and use to make the decision. So if somebody's going to be treated partially, not impartially, but with partiality, I guess is a better way to say it. And we know that the decision is that if we make that decision, then we are going to be demonstrating partiality. Then That ought not be a part of our decision if it's going down the filter. Is this making sense? Okay, John, go to the next. So we've got principles and values. Now we're going to move on, and this now we're going to look at examples. So here's an example in the New Testament where Paul expressly says, here's an example, learn from it. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. He says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. So what's he talking about? Talking about Exodus, they were led by the pillar, you know, pillar of fire and the cloud, and God was there. Okay. All right. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, going through the water. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. In other words, they all experienced all that. They ate manna. They had quail. God provided it. Plus, they had His Word and were called to be obedient to His Word. So they ate spiritual food, spiritual drink. But they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. The funny thing is, Moses did hit the rock and they did drink. See, it is all this imagery is floating around together. Okay? Question? Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. And then he decides to provide a list. Okay? So their example was there for us to pay attention to, so that we do not make the same. Now, we all, probably here, I know, Mary, you hadn't gotten there yet. You'll have this joy in the future. You're looking at a teenager, or you're looking at a 20-something, and you're saying, it would be really nice if you could just learn from my experience. Instead of saying, no, I have to go learn from my own mistakes and problems and etc. Built in, okay? Because that's what we would love to do as parents or people who deal with young people, is say, look, you don't have to intentionally go out there and just make the mistake. You can learn from somebody else. Look at their example. Look at my example and learn from it. So here are the things we are not supposed to do. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were out there in the wilderness. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Number one. Number two, we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. Wow, what an example. Three, we should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that the bronze snake was lifted up and that was the only thing that saved the folks from the snakes, and that Jesus was lifted up like the bronze snake. Okay. And do not grumble. Number four, some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. This is an example. And there's others in the Bible. I just wanted to point out one. What I'm trying to show you is that there's this different kind of content in God's revelation that all comes to bear. It's all God's revelation, and it's the first ring that we need to see as a part of our filter. So if something goes through that, if it's obvious, we know it should be kicked out, that the decision should already be made, we let the revelation of God make the decision. Because there are some things that are just that easy. Okay? It is just that easy to decide you don't commit adultery. Okay? Now, is there grace and mercy and forgiveness? There is. There's reconciliation if we seek God. Absolutely. But what I'm telling you is, if you're making the decision, there is no decision. It's kicked out. The decision's made. We don't do it. Does it make sense? So no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Very important principle that is tied to the example. Sometimes it's not like it's either one or the other. Sometimes it's both. Okay? We get these things packaged together. Okay, so principles, values, examples. All of them speak to us. So let's find out what's next. So, let's see here. Oh, one more. Go to the back there. All right, so examples. Go to Hebrews 11. You got a Bible? If you got a real Bible that's printed like mine, then open that. If you've got a phone that's got a Bible in it, then that's fine too. You go to Hebrews 11. You know where I'm going with this? You know what's in Hebrews 11? Y'all remember this? Well, we're going to go to the end of 11. How about that? Or near the end of 11. Go to 32. And we'll go from there. 11:32. So there the writer to Hebrews says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others still were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what was promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." What is that? All that stuff? It's an example. Every one of those people, they were mentioned. They were examples. How do I know that? Look at chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Those were all examples. So we see another place where we see examples. Now, so when we come into a decision, give you an example of an example. You and I come to a decision where our skin is on the line if we do the thing that God wants us to do. We have to abandon the world's value that says, and I'm telling you, this is a lie from the enemy, no decision God will call you to will harm you. That's a lie. There are times where God calls us to decisions that in some way are not desirable and can actually be harmful, even though we are doing the thing that God would call us to do. But that's not popular in our culture. Our culture says God will never make me do anything that would go on the blank. You know, He doesn't want me to be hungry. He doesn't want me to be persecuted. He doesn't, but He also doesn't want you to be disobedient. And that's the principle. Does it make sense? Problem is, we get it too well, don't we? So in the decision-making process, we have to understand that sometimes what God, by example, tells us, He calls us to, we learn from the example that it means that there may be consequences we won't necessarily enjoy. But that doesn't mean that we won't have some sort of peace, confidence, and maybe even joy in the fact that we have obeyed and God is with us, because He has called us to this place and we have done what He told us to do. Okay, move on now, John. Thank you. All right, so what are some factors at play when any of us make a decision? Did we go back to one? Number two? All right. So we're starting number two now? All right. So let's go past that one. I must have made a mistake there. Forgive me. I'm moving from day one to day two in my brain. All right. So here's the deal. So what we've been talking about is the fact that the Bible has Principles, values, and examples that we need to pay attention to. And that these principles, these values, and these examples overrule everything else that can be a factor in decision making. You know why? I know why you say that. Stephen, surely. Why does what the Bible says trump anything else that could be a factor in a decision we'll make? What God said. Okay? We know that what's there, what's revealed, the principles, the values, the examples, that is from God. And He did it for a reason. He shared it with us so that we would know His ways, His heart, His character, what pleases Him. If we don't let God's revelation be the thing that rules every other factor, then we become God. Because we start making the decisions regardless of what He said. Does this make sense? We can't do that. Okay? Now, what we're going to talk about today is the fact that there is other content out there, other factors involved in making decisions besides what the Bible says. But we have to make sure that if any of those ever come into conflict with the revelation, that we understand the revelation wins and is the voice in the decision. Okay? So, what are some ways that we can hear from God that are not direct biblical revelation? David. Other believers, okay? Yeah. Wise counsel? Anyone that we would say is a spiritual elder, you know, okay, yeah. Hopefully. Okay? All right, so wise counsel. Other believers. What else? Yes. Prayer. Yes. Prayer. Yeah, experiences, yes. Now, prayer, we have to remember that when we're talking about prayer, that we are doing more listening than we are talking. Because the problem in prayer a lot of times is what we want to do is pour it all out, and then it's like, thank you, God, I'll see you later. And he's good with that when that's needed. He's willing to do that. He said he would. But a lot of times there's things he wants to say to us. We don't stay long enough to listen. Okay? Keep it going. Okay, I'm gonna put that in the category of other believers' wise counsel. Circumstances. Okay. And what's the danger with circumstances? While we're there, Stephen, what were you gonna say about that? Every closed door is not God closing the door. Every open door is not God opening the door. So we have to be very careful, because what happens is if we do that, we take the path of least resistance. It's like water flowing down or flowing, you know, through territory of some type. It's going to follow the path that's the easiest to take. And we just, that's not what God has shown us. Okay? All right, so we've talked about these. Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, wives, counsel, prayer, circumstances. But we haven't talked about some that maybe we haven't a lot of experience with. Maybe you do, I don't know. Has God ever, you feel like giving you a dream of some type? You've had a dream and you kind of, as you look back, you know that eventually it was something God was doing, and He was showing you something about what you needed to deal with, or something that maybe was coming and that you need to prefer. Anyway, there's a lot of ways He could do that, okay? So dreams, vision, and that's biblical, okay? Old Testament and New Testament. Both. Okay. And then what about what the Bible calls visions? Okay, which is not necessarily somebody being asleep, but that yet they're, you know, in their mind's eye, they're seeing something, watching something happen. Yeah, these are not common to most people. And I think you can see that that most of the time when they're recorded in Scripture, it's for a significant reason. But at the same time, in Joel, you look in the prophet Joel, it says, in the days that we are living in, when the Spirit's been poured out, this is going to be something that is a part of the deal. God does speak in this way. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, or vice versa. I get those twisted up on. Okay? So those are all ways that are, we want to make sure that all those other ways of God speaking to us still line up with what He has already said. Because God does not change. He doesn't say, okay, today it's all right to commit adultery. Yesterday it was not, but today it's okay. No, that's a principle. It doesn't change. It's not situational. It's not circumstantial. But yes, there are things that God does that times where He does speak through circumstance. Okay? We'll get to that in the future. I'm going to leave it. Okay? Because some of these kind of bleed over into each other, but we're going to deal with something else next week. All right. So, we've dealt with that. Let's look at some biblical examples of these things so you understand. Now again, we're going back to the Bible. We're going to see that these things that we have just been talking about really have happened and really do happen and still are. Okay? So first of all, let's look at Jethro and Moses. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 18. All right. So the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around for him, around him from morning till evening. And when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them His decrees and instructions and show them the way that they're to live and how they're to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands and hundreds, fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you." He's the appellate court. "The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. And if you do this and God so commands," you see the check right there? "If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all the people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. So what is this an example of? Okay, wisdom. Okay, he was listening to wise counsel. And the wise counsel said, okay, listen to God. Here's a strategy, but listen to God. Okay? All right? So number two, this time we're going to be looking at Paul. You may remember the story. He's in the middle of one of his missionary journeys, and he has a little frustration. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, did he hear what God wanted him to do? Was that where God wanted him to go? So that's an example of a what? A vision. God gave him a vision. All right, next, John. In this situation, we're going to look at something that Peter experienced. We talk about this all the time. One of the great stories in the New Testament. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat while the meal was being prepared, and he fell into a trance. Don't be concerned by that word, okay? It doesn't mean anything hokey or strange. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds, things that Jews would say are unclean, okay, and they would stay away from. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Peter always seemed to have to hear it three times. Just by the way. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. And you know the rest of the story, right? He goes to Cornelius' house. Cornelius has been spoken to by an angel. He has all his buddies there. Peter gets there, he preaches, and the Holy Spirit falls. And the Jews cannot do anything but say, yes, the Spirit has been given to the Gentiles, and everything's different in the church. Yeah. Again, Peter, this got threes is important with Peter for some reason. All right. So another example here, it says trance or vision, whichever word you want to use. God's speaking. Now, did God say, go to Cornelius' house? No. What he said was, don't call unclean what I'm telling you is clean. It was a principle. But it was revealed in a vision and applied in real life. And y'all, hey, bless you. All right, so we're going to go back to the Old Testament. Joseph had a dream. Well, that kind of reveals it right there, doesn't it? Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. He just should have kept that one quiet, right? Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. It's like he didn't learn the first time. He was so full, he just popped. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon, the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And yes, it did happen. So, you see examples of these things happening. God speaking in other ways other than through principles, other than through examples, other than through values that are revealed in Scripture. In this case, we can see that God speaks in these ways. But again, what I'm telling you is the only times He's going to do that is when it is in agreement with what He has already revealed. He's never going to change the principles, the values, or the example. Okay? All right. So we'll go to circumstances now. We talked about the need to double-check circumstances. And there's a lot of ways to double-check circumstances. The first is through its agreement with the Word. But this is how Gideon did it. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor, and if there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I'll know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. So, he is putting a fleece before God. Okay? Now, there's a lot of people who want to do this because it seems like it's the easiest way. We need to understand that God does not allow us to choose how He's going to confirm or reveal. Okay? But in this case, He let Gideon do that. And that is what happened. Gideon rose the next day and he squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. It was not good enough for Gideon. Which to his credit, okay, he understood the weakness of circumstances. So he said, okay, God, round two, do not be angry with me, please. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. By this time, make the fleece dry and the ground be covered with dew. And that night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and all around the ground was covered with dew. Okay? So God was nice. He was gracious. And yes, He gave Gideon the confirmation he needed. And yes, Gideon did what God told him. And yes, Gideon did go into battle. And that's where we get the great story of the 300 dudes that lapped water like dogs. And they're the ones that ended up winning the battle because they did what God told them. The other side of the decision. In this case, it was, do I go to war, God? And he decided whether he was going to war because he put the fleece out. And God showed him what he should do. So, what we have is God speaking through His revealed word, and we also have God speaking in other ways. But there always are checks in these other ways, whether it's circumstances, whether it's visions or dreams, or through wise counsel. Okay? They always have to be evaluated and measured by what God has already said and already done. Because He is not going to change that. So, what God has said by the Holy Spirit in the Bible is one way that we see God speaking. What God has said by the Holy Spirit to you through the Bible, so it's in the Bible and then through the Bible, like through meditation and listening and paying attention to what the Word says. What God has said to you by the Holy Spirit through dreams and visions, impressions, and at times His voice. Now, the His voice part troubles some people because they want... Okay. God does not quite often use a voice to speak to us that rumbles the heavens and everyone can hear. It does happen in Scripture. Paul had it happen. Okay, but God also spoke through a donkey to Barak. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be. Okay. But there are times where in our hearts and in our minds, in our heads, and or whatever you want to say, that we can literally sense God articulating something. Okay? I don't know if you've ever had that happen. For me, it was whenever it was 1987. And I'm sitting there in a church gathering and not listening to anything because it's me and God wrestling over what's going on in life. I had a holy discomfort. I was not pleased or comfortable with where I was anymore and knew something was coming. I said, God, what is it? He said, Rick, you can go to seminary. For me, that meant moving into ministry from where I had been teaching and coaching. Okay. He said, but, wait a year. Now, did I actually hear a voice? No, but in my head, I heard it. And I felt like it was from God. And I believe that He has confirmed all of that in time. But I listened to other people and I talked to other people and I had them praying with me about that before I actually did it. So I had the counsel. There was nothing in the Bible that said anything about Rick, you ought to go or Rick, you ought not go. Beside that, there was this great desire. So in the counsel, in all of it, as I considered all of it, it ended up being, yeah, okay, this was something that was God. Does that make sense to you? Or what God has said to you by the Holy Spirit through His people and others, wisdom, encouragement, prophetic words, the like. Okay. So that's what we've talked about so far as being the factors. These factors are those that are the solid things, okay? The printed revelation, the solid stuff that doesn't change, doesn't go away, doesn't get negotiated. Then we've got the times when God speaks to us in ways that we have to confirm and make sure because it's a little bit more, we're human, right? We have to make sure, like Dusty says, that it isn't just the pizza that I ate last night, you know, that is causing me to think a certain way, feel a certain way, have a certain dream, okay? So, has God ever spoken to you this way? I want you to think about this, any of these ways. So, how has God used other people to help you make decisions? I know probably all of us have had that. So what I want you to do when we start next Sunday, I want you to come back and I want you to think, okay, has God ever given me a dream or a vision or an impression? Has God used other people? How has He used other people? Are you like me and you think that you've actually heard God in your head somewhere, or maybe in other ways speak to you about something. So I want you to think about those things, and I want you to come with some stories. We're going to start there next Sunday with those stories, and then we will launch into the next thing. You good with that? Any questions? All right. I hope this is helping you frame. Eventually, where we're going to go is I'm going to have my little diagram up there of this cutesy little filter thing, where we talk about all these things that are involved. Okay? God's revelation, principles, values, and examples. God's speaking through wise counsel, through prayer, through visions, through dreams. And we're gonna look at it as it might come down and see how the little filter thing works as we get more factors put into the puzzle. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. Lord, I pray that today as we have gathered, that we have come to offer you something. Lord, we know that when you pour out your Spirit upon us, that we do receive. So Lord, we thank you for that. It is a great blessing and it is a gift. Lord, help us as we offer ourselves to you today as living sacrifices, that we find that the life that you give to us is a great adventure, and that, Lord, we can have confidence you're going to be with us as we engage many, many different decisions, and we know that it is all for your glory. Lord, I thank you that you do speak, you do reveal, and that you do lead us. Help us this week, Lord, as we have to make decisions. Let us see them as great opportunities for you. And I ask this in Jesus' name.